stato bene. Okay, we're trying still during these parishes to understand how much our Avos and our Imahos did for us, how much already was taken care of by them. The Torah says in the parasha, "Vayivya Yitzchak Oala Asara Imai," that Yitzchak brought Rivka. We learn this week's parasha is the Shidduch, the Chasna, the Shidduch, the first Shidduch that we see being made, first Chasna. So Vayivya Yitzchak Oala Asara Imai. So Yitzchak brought his Kala, the tent of Sari Yimeinu. And the Torah says, Vayahaveh, and he loved it. So this Rashi here brings from Chazal, I'm going to read to you the entire Lashon of Chazal. Rashi's Lashon is a little bit abbreviated. Chazal say the following, Kol Yomim Shahis Asara Kayemes. This is a very famous Chazal. All the days, all the years that Sarah was alive, Haya Anon Kosho Al Pesach Ohala. There was a cloud that was hovering by the opening, above the opening of her tent. The Kevin Shemesa Pesach Ose Anon. And when she died, once Sarah Yimeinu died, then that cloud, that special cloud, that special presence disappeared. Until when? So the Medrash says, "V'kevin shabas Rivka chazar oisei anan." Until Rivki Yimeinu was brought to the tent, until Rivki Yimeinu married Yitzchak, and then the cloud returned. Kol yomim shahayis esar kayemes, hayu the losos pesuchos l'revach. As long as Sar Yimeinu was alive, the doors, the openings of the tent were wide open. The Kevin Shemesa Sar Poska Isa Haravocha, once Sar Yimeinu died, then they no longer remained in that way. The Kevin Shabbos Rivka Chazra Isa Haravoch. When Rivki Yimeinu arrives, when she's brought into the family, then that expansiveness returns. The opening of the doors. Kol yom shahayse sari kayemes hayse brachum shulachas b'isa. As long as Sarah was alive, there was blessing in the dough, in the bread. The kevin shemayse sari poska hayse habracha. Then when she died, this was no longer seen until kevin shabas rivka chaz. Kol yom shahayse sari kayemes. As long as Sarah Yimeinu was alive, haya ner doluk mlele shabbos vad lele shabbos. A candle was lit from Friday night till Friday night, and there was a candle continuously shining. The Kevin Shemesa Pasuk Oisa Haner. And once she died, then that stopped. The Kevin Shabbos Rivka Chaz. It's understood. By any Bal Seichel, it's understood. That even after Sarah Yimeinu died, Avraham Avinu continued in her ways. There's no question. Regarding the lighting of the Shabbos candle, Avraham Avinu was chayiv to light. His wife was no longer alive. Avraham Avinu was chayiv to continue lighting. It didn't have that special, astounding, miraculous effect. But certainly Avraham Avinu continued to light. And certainly Avraham Avinu's tent remained open. And certainly there was blessing to be found in the tent of Avraham Avinu. But clearly, something changed. It's clear that something changed. What exactly was that change? We have to talk about a little bit. We'll only come back to this the last 2 minutes. But something changed. Until Rivki Yimeinu until Rivki Imenu comes, enters into the world of the Ovis. When Rivki Imenu comes, she restores that special quality that was there as long as Sarah Imenu was alive. And it's clear also that somehow Avram cannot duplicate that. He's incapable of duplicating whatever koach was there from Sarah Imenu. When Sarah Imenu died, posak. The Medrash is very clear. It stopped. It ended. It suddenly stopped. Until Rivki Imenu comes. We have to learn a very deep sugya. But not in it. Tonight's not going to be, it's not going to be complicated. Sometimes it seems that way to me, but then it comes out in a complicated way because of the difficulty of communicating certain ideas. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. It's a troubling Gemara. I'll tell you why. We all know that our lives depend on the schus of the Avos, on the merit of our ancestors. We know that. All of our davening, we're constantly trying to awaken the schus Avos, to pull out that document of our yichus, of our mishpacha. Three times a day, b'zoicha chaz de Avos, mevi goel of nev neim l'man shemoi bi'ahava, that Hashem remembers the kindness, the loving, with loving kindness, the Avos, our ancestors. So all of our tefillas, all of our davening, and especially at the time of Rosh Hashanah Kippur, it all revolves around the need of schus avos. In truth, in that Gemara there, in Shabbos and Daf Nun Hey, there's a machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. And we have there the shocking opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel says, Beferish, in that Gemara there in Shabbos, Shmuel says, Thomas schus avos. Shmuel says that the schus avos has ended. That was already a long time ago when Shmuel lived. He was from the first Amoraim. He was at that time the transition between the Tanoim and Amoraim. The schus avos has ended. Thomas schus avos. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree. So it's frightening to even read the Gemara to say such a thing. Thomas Chusovis, that we no longer have Chusovis, then what do we have? Our Chusim? Thomas Chusovis. So Tosafos there brings the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which we're not going to talk about tonight. I'm just going to mention if it's kedai to look. Rabbeinu Tam makes a distinction between Chusovis and Brisovis. And although the Chus, the merit of the ancestors, is no longer in effect, although the merit, the schus of this is not in effect, but there's a bris of us, a covenant of the others, that maintains its energy, its strength. The bris of us, what that means exactly is the subject of huge discussions, and to be shown in the achronim, it's a labor digger thing. What's the difference between schus of us and bris of us? But that's what Rabbeinu Tam says, that we no longer have schus avos, we have something that's called bris avos, the covenant of the avos. But I want to focus on Tosfos's other approach. Tosfos brings an answer, an explanation in the name of Ri. Well, the Ri Nira. The Loi Pligi Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan. That really there is no argument between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the issue of schus avos. How could that be? In the Gemara it says that according to Shmuel, Thomas Chusovis, and according to Yochanan, Thomas Chusovis, that it continues, according to Shmuel, it's no longer continuing. How could that be? What's, that there's no machlokas, there's no difference of opinion. So Re says in Tais, Larinia, the Leipligi, Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, El Shmuel, Ka'oma, the Lerishoim, Tom, or the Tzadikim, Loi Tom. There's no machlokas. One is speaking about Tzadikim, the other is speaking about Rishoim. As far as tzaddikim, as far as the righteous are concerned, schus avos continues. The power of schus avos goes on for the tzaddikim. However, regarding the rishoyim, that's what Shmuel meant when he said Thomas schus avos. When Shmuel said that there's no longer schus avos, Shmuel was referring to, according to the Reintosvus, Shmuel is referring to the Rishoyim, the wicked. As far as the wicked are concerned, they can no longer rely at this time, they can no longer rely on Schus Avos, on the merit of the ancestors. Only the Tzaddikim can, and there's no Machlokas. They're discussing two different issues. One's talking about Tzaddikim, the other's talking about Rishoyim. But they both agree that with Tzaddikim, there is Schus Avos, and they both agree that with Rishoyim, with the wicked, the Schus Avos doesn't work. That's the approach of Ri and Tosfos. Now, I don't know about you, that doesn't really make me too much feel too much better. What Tosfos is saying is that the whole inyan of Schus Avos is only for Tzaddikim. All of our davening, all of our hopes, it's for Tzaddikim. Nafalpi, even though Amach Kulam Tzaddikim, all Jews are Tzaddikim, the Tzaddikim with a capital Tzaddik and with a small Tzaddik. Schus Avos is only for Tzaddikim. And Bemis, I saw this in the Medrash, it's Mefurish in the Medrash. It says this clearly in the Medrash. The Medrash is later on. Yaakov Avinu was concerned about his upcoming confrontation with Esav, with his brother. So what does he do? So Vayomer Yaakov, Elokei Avi Avram, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. So because he is worried about the confrontation with Esav, he calls upon his father and his grandfather, the Schus of his father Yitzchak and of his grandfather Avram, to protect him. So the Medrash says, it's also in the Medrash Rabba Ayin Vav. Vayom Yaakov l'kei avi Avram l'kei avi Yitzchak ho l'esav loy. Now, what the Medrash is asking, so Yaakov is referring to his yichus. He's taking out his papers, and Yaakov's papers are very good. His father is Yitzchak, wonderful. His grandfather is Avraham Avinu, terrific. So the Medrash asks, well, Esav has the exact same yichus. The Medrash says, what about Esav? He has the same documents. Esav's father is Yitzchak, and the Zayd is Avraham Avinu. So the Medrash asks, for Esav loy. And Esav does not have the Elokei Avi Avram, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. He has the same Yichus. So the Medrash, now here when we read this Medrash, we feel so good. So the Medrash says, Elo Haboicher B'darkeyem Va'oisekim Aseyem Anim Iskayim Elo. So Hashem says, no. Haboicher B'darkeyem. Only for the child who has chosen the right path. The path of Avram and Yitzchak. V'ha'oisekim Aseyem. And only the one who behaves in the way of the others. Avram and Yitzchak. Anim Iskayim Elo. I will stand by that person, Hashem says. But Misha ain't a boycher b'darcheim, ve'no oisekim aseim, ainim is kaimel. But for the person, even though in terms of the actual yichus, even though it's true that in terms of the yichus, Esav has the same yichus, the same father and the same grandfather, but there's a condition that the schus ovis should work, that the merit of the ancestor should work. And it's aboichir b'darcheyem v'ha'oisekim aseyem. It's only if you're a person that has chosen the way of the ancestors and behaves in the way of the others. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam in the Laws of Malachim, this is just for those of you who appreciate a diuk in the Rambam. A Rambam that sometimes is overlooked. In the 10th parak, the Rambam writes regarding the halachas of Bnei Noach, the Rambam says, Mechlal shehu levado zarish l'avrom. Regarding the mitzvah of Brismila, it's only for zarish l'avrom, for the descendants of Avram Avinu, not Yishmael and not Esav, even though it's in the Mishpacha. So how could that be? So he says, Levad Zarush Lavram Hamachzik Bedoso Ubedarcho Hayeshar. Only those of Avram Avinu's descendants who are machzikim bedoso, who are holding on, who are maintaining his faith, his religion, his way. Ubedarka Hayeshar in his upright path. Vehema Milchiyovim Bemila. They're Chayavim Bismila. Therefore, we understand. Chazal say, "Lefichu chayisi oimer shkolech vechem Yisrael chayv loy mamosa yagiu ma'isi lema'isi avoyse Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov." Chazal tells that every Jew must say, every Jew must long for that time when Mosa yagiu ma'isi lema'isi avoyse. When will my actions reach the ways of the actions of my forefathers Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov? Because according to what we're learning here from the Gemara and Shabbos, and the understanding of the Ri, Balatoisvis, and the Medrash that I just read to you, only those Jews who are Boichrim Medar Chayim, who have chosen to live the life of the ancestors, which according to the understanding of Tosfos means Tzadikim, only those people have reached that point of Mosa Yagil Maisel Maise Avosai, that their actions have reached the way of the ancestors. Or as it says in the Chassidish Sfarim, that Yagil is a lashon of Nagia, which means to touch. That at least our actions should touch the ways of the ancestors, should somehow touch, come into contact with, resemble, be in the same parsha as the actions of our ancestors. Then perhaps one could have a name of being Haboyche B'Darcheyem, someone who has chosen their ways. And yet, after going through this a little bit, and of course in a very superficial way, it's impossible to ignore the fact that there are so many Chazals, and there's a Beferish Pasuk in Novi and Shmuel, Lo Yidach Menu Nidach, which so many times over the years I've mentioned that pasuk, that no Jew is ever pushed away, chalila. And the Schus Ovis is with us through all of our situations. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, at a time when it was very hard to say that the Jewish people as a whole had behaved as tzaddikim by the sin of the golden calf or the chet ha'egel, and yet we see that Moshe Rabbeinu invokes the Schus Ovis, and we say that during the whole Slichas and the whole davening of Shnei Yom Kippur, and that's talking about sinners. Moshe Rabbeinu was begging in the aftermath of the most horrible sin of the Chet HaEgel, of the golden calves. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening Schor LaAvrom LiYitzchok Yisrael Avadecha. He's begging for Schus Ovis to work, as we do in davening. When we acknowledge our sinfulness, we should do that whenever something goes wrong, but it's best, but during Slichas or Shonim Kippur, we have that little period of honesty. We try. And we're asking for Schus Ovis. All of the davenings, Av Mitzchok, Yisrael Avadech. So it seems that the mystery here lies in something that is very, very often overlooked. And it emerges in this beautiful chazal. Listen to the chazal. It's in the Teres Kahanim Vayikra Chavav. V'zacharti as Brisi Yaakov. You know this pasuk also. We say it all the time by Slichas. Again, it's referring to Hashem's promise to remember the Bris Avos. V'zacharti as Brisi Yaakov. And I will remember the Bris that I made with Yaakov. Af as Brisi Yitzchak. And also the Bris with Yitzchak. Af as Brisi Avram. Eskor, I will remember also the priests of Avraham, Viharis Eskor, and I will remember the land. So the Medrash says, there, it's the Medrash Halach, the Teres Kahanim says, Ein li ela avis. Ein li ela avis. All it says in the Pasuk is, V'zacharti is B'isi Yaakov, B'isi Yitzchak, B'isi Avraham. Imahos minolan. What about the mothers? Imahos minolan. What about the mothers? Talmud Loimar, therefore it is written S. S Brisi, yeah. S Brisi Yitzchak. What do you need all the S's? Ve'ein Esim Ela Imahos. And the word S in the world of the Ovis and the Imahos, the word Ve'es is the code word for the Imahos. Ve'ein Esim Ela Imahos. Shenemar. Shoma kovras Avraham ve'essar ishto. Shoma kovras Avraham ve'essar ishto. So the Teres Kahanim darshens from here that ve'essar ishto is a binyan of, reveals to us that when it says by the Ovis ve'ess, it's referring to the Imahos. So especially in this pasuk, you can't, in the pasuk in Vayikra, Zacharti as Brisi Yaakov, Afis Brisi Yitzchak, Afis Brisi Yaakov, Ves. So Chazal Darshan in the Teres Kahanim, that Ves is talking about the Imahos, the mothers. Sorry, Rivka Rochel and Leia. So Chazal revealing to us here something different that we're not so accustomed to hearing. We always talk about schus avos, bris avos, and schus avos. Chazal have revealed to us over here that there's something that's called the bris imahos, the covenant of our mothers. The bris imahos. So what is this Brisi Mahos? What is it? How does it work? What does it mean? How is it different from the Bris Avos, the Schus Avos? So we have to learn this Inyan. It's been put off for too long. At least by me. In the Psichus to the Medrash Eicher Rabba, in the Medrash introducing the Medrashim on the Book of Eicher. So there's in the 24th Psichus Chav Dalet, there's an absolutely astounding record of conversations that took place between Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem, begging Hashem not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Om Rabbi Shmuel ben Achman, b'shoah shechar Beis HaMikdash, bo Avram lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, boichim, amar zekono, b'sayil esaravus roi shoy. At the time when Hashem, when the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, Avram Avinu came to Hashem. You know that you look in the keenness of Tisha B'Av, Yirmiyahu Navi goes to wake up the Yishenei Chevron, those who are sleeping in Chevron. So Avraham Avinu wakes up. And he comes crying, Umamari Zakon, he's pulling out the hairs of his beard and the hair of his head. Umakes Pondav, and he's smacking himself. The Koreas Begodav, he's tearing his clothing, Ve'efral Rosh, and there are ashes upon his head, by Mahalach Beis HaMikdash. And Avraham Avinu was walking up and down by the Beis HaMikdash, v'soifer v'tsoik, omluf nekadosh baruch, v'nei manish t'neisi mikol uma v'loshen shabos l'dei bush u'chlim ezois. Why am I so different than all the nations? Why am I worse, my children, that we've come to such humiliation, to such terrible, terrible shame? And then it says that the Malachim saw Avraham Avinu crying, so all the Malachim gathered in rows, and they began to be maspit, to say, espay them over Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. And then there's a whole long medrash here. Avraham Avinu saying all different kinds of tainus. Why? And what about this? And what about this? And Avraham Avinu is trying everything. But Rabbi Shalom, Mehmahi Glaces, Bonayim, Sarton, Bide Humus. Avraham Avinu says, Hashem, why did you exile my children and give them into the hands of the nations, the Harogim, Cholmises, Mishunis, who have murdered my children in all kinds of Mishunitic ways? And you destroyed the Beis Hamikdash where I brought my child Yitzchak as a carbon for you. And Avraham Avinu goes on until finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer is that the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis will testify that they've gone against the whole Torah. The ending. Avraham Avinu can't say anything. Out. Then the next thing we see is Yitzchak Avinu comes. Pasach Yitzchak Vamer Ben Shalom Kisham Li Abba Elakim Yir Elai Asel Lo Elu B'ni. Yitzchak Avinu says, Rabbi Shalom, when Father said, Elakim Yir Elai Asel Lo Elu B'ni Leikavti Yil V'Rachav Nekadati Ritzayin Libi, I allowed myself to be tied down to the Mizbech, to the altar, with a full heart. Pashatati is Savori Tachas Asakin. And I stretched my neck out under the knife. You won't remember this and have mercy upon your children, on my children. Yitzchak doesn't even get an answer. There's not even an answer. Posach Yaakov. Avraham Avinu, the Rebbeinu Shlom says one line. Out. Yitzchak, not even an answer. The Akedas Yitzchak. Posach Yaakov Omar. Yaakov Avinu comes and says, Rebbeinu Shlom, le'esem shona amadati v'veis lovin. Didn't I work for 20 years in the house of lovin? Kshiyatzosim v'veis opoga b'yetz of Arosha, and then I had to fight if I left. I had a fight with Esav HaRosh. I had to confront Esav HaRosh. Bikish Lahargis Bani, he wanted to kill my children. Masati Atzim Lemisulayim. V'achshad Nimshu B'Adai Vehem. And now you've given my children over to the enemies, to Esav. Katzayin L'Tivcha. L'achah Shegidaltim Kefreichim Shaltan. After I raised them, like little chicks, Shaltan Agoylim, I raised them. Savalti Lem Tzagidl Bonim. And how much I went through to raise my children, to raise the Shvatim, the Holy Shvatim, and to raise the Jewish people. Most of my life I had to suffer terribly from the difficulties that my children went through. You can't remember this? Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, wasn't I a loyal shepherd? 40 years. Nothing. Not an answer. Now something happens. Something changes. The last outcry. The Shor Asel, Oisav Yasmanolas Hishchato B'Yamech, and Hashem, you said in your Torah, my Shabbeinu, and then over Yirmiyah crying, Hashem, you said in your Torah that you can't, Shor Asel, Oisav Yasmanol, that you can't, the mother and the child, you can't shech the same day. And Hashem, look how many parents and their children have been shech that have been slaughtered, and you're silent. Then all of a sudden everything changes. Until now, it was all a men's world. And nothing's happening. Doesn't say Pasach. By the Ovis and by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says Pasach. They began to speak. They began to cry, scream. Kafzer b'Eisasha, Kafzer Roch Limeinu l'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Roch Limeinu leaps in front of Hashem. Kafzer. Va'omra, and she said, Rabbeinu Shalom Golu l'fnei Chashi Yaakov Avdecha Havani Ahavi Yisei Rav'ovid B'Shvili L'Abba Sheva Shonim. You know that Yaakov, your servant, loved me with great love, and he worked for me those years. And then I waited, we had to wait all that time, and then my father made this terrible trick, this exchange with my sister. And ki noidli hates, and you know that I found out about this, I knew about this plan. And I had told my husband to be careful. And I gave him a sim and a sign to know. But then I thought it all over and I had rachmonis. I had compassion upon my sister. She shouldn't be humiliated. And we were exchanging. I gave her all of the simonim. Unbelievable things. I gave over the simonim to my sister. I wasn't jealous. I didn't embarrass, humiliate. So look, Hashem, I am a flesh and blood, dust and ashes. And I wasn't envious or jealous. So you're so jealous and so upset about the fact that there's Avodah Zorah, that the Jews are involved with Avodah Zorah. There's no mamoshes, it's Nairishkeit. V'glesa bonai, you sent my children to exile because of this. V'neogu b'cherav, they've been killed. V'also oivim b'am kitzhoinam yan nizgalu, listen to this, miyad nizgalu rachm shkodesh baruch hu. Immediately after hearing this, nizgalu rachm shkodesh baruch hu, Hashem's compassion was awakened. Literally means it rolled over Hashem. He was overtaken by his compassion. Doesn't just mean he was overtaken. His galgul, it rolled over. It did. V'omar and Hashem said, "B'shvilech rochel ani machzis Yisraelim koimon." For your sake, I will return the Jewish people to their place. Ado d'chsev, as it's written in Yirmiyah. The Rochel is crying for her children. She refuses to be consoled. They've been taken away. And Hashem tells Rochel Imenu in the 31st chapter in Yirmiyah. Hold back your voice. Stop crying, and I should no longer bring forth tears. Ki yesh sachar lupulaseich. There is reward for all that you've done. V'yesh tikva lachriseich v'shavu banu l'gvul. Not Avram Avinu, not Yitzchok Avinu, not Yaakov, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Yirmiyah Navi. Why didn't the Schus Avos work? Let's try to understand. So what was wrong with the Schus Avos? Or was missing in the Schus Avos? Or what advantage does the Schus of the Imahos, the Bris of the Imahos, of the mothers have over the Schus Avos? Now, what I'm going to try to explain, now don't just learn this like an Indian to learn. Try to think about it a lot and to see it in your own lives. To understand it and to see it in your own lives. It's clear from Chazal that two covenants were made. I said something called the Bris HaShvatim too, for a different time. Two covenants were made. The Bris of the Avos, the Bris of the Fathers, and the Bris Imos of the Mothers. And it sounds like from this Medrash, it doesn't just sound like, I mean, it's, the Medrash is screaming this. The Medrash is screaming this. That where there is such a thing as Tomas Chus Avos, now we come back to the Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Hei. There is such a thing where the schus of the avos is somehow suspended. Somehow it doesn't work for us. And in that place where the schus avos can no longer help us, can no longer work, in that place, the schus of the imahos is kofetzes lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It leaps before Hashem. there's a tenai for the schus avos. There's a condition in the schus avos that I davke read to you beferish the lashon of Chazal, that there's a condition for schus avos to work, and that's haboyche b'darcheihem ha'oisik ma'aseihem. For those who have chosen the ways and lived their lives, ani miskayim alam. Hashem says, I will take care of them in the schus of the others. And the Ri says in Tosfos Beferish that both Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan agree that Tomas schus avos, the schus avos is no longer in effect for Rishoyim. Only for tzaddikim, only for the righteous, but not for the wicked. And yet there is something called the schus of the imahos, the bris, the covenant of the mothers, and the schus of the mothers that has the power to work. No matter what we're going through, in any matzav that the Jewish people are in, have been in, there's a koyach called the schus of the mothers. Because there's a chilik between, now here's the nekuda. There's a chilik between, there's a distinction that must be made between the schus avos and schus imahos. We say in davening, v'zorcheh chaz de avos, u'mevi goyel levnei v'neim l'man shemoi bi'ahava. That the Indian of schus avos is to bring redemption. To bring redemption. Schus avos has the koach to awaken the powers of redemption. The Zohar has the obvious that there should be a complete geula. But in truth, it's not enough for the Jewish people as a people, or for any individual Jewish person as an individual, just to have a bracha for geula. Geula means when Hashem takes you out of your problem, when He removes you from your problem, when you are redeemed, the Jewish people bechlal, the individual befrat, the great ghoul at the end of time, and different levels of redemption have taken place throughout history for the nation and for the individual from his own sorrows. But that's the koach of the ovis. The koach of the ovis is umevi goel levnei v'neihem leman shemoi b'yahava. Geula. For the problem that the child has to end, to be taken out, to be redeemed. But there is something else, because that's not enough. It's not enough just to be redeemed from its sorrow. There's something else that a Jew needs. The question is, how am I going to live? How am I going to survive during this sorrow? It's a different thing. It's not a question of ending the problem. It's not a resolution to the problem. How do I live? How do I continue living during the problem? And that special schuz, that special bracha of surviving during the gullus, during any difficulty, being able to get up in the morning before the gula has taken place, before the tzara has ended, that special schuz, that special bracha is from our mothers, it's from the imahos. And we find Chazal telling us that when Rivki Imenu sent out Yaakov to run away, to run for his life, when Rivki Imenu sent out Yaakov, she gave him the bracha, ki malocha v'yitzavaloch l'shmorcha b'chol drachecha. That the maloch, you should be protected b'chol drachecha. All the coming years of tzaris, she knew, she saw. Ki malocha v'yitzavaloch, that's a Jewish mother. Ki malocha v'yitzavaloch l'shmorcha b'chol drachecha. That the malochim should watch you, should take care of you. The chol drachecha. So all the things you're going to go through, the malachim should be with you. That you should survive. So this schus of the imos that enables the kiyum begolus, that enables us to survive during golus, even when we're not ru'uyim, even when we're unworthy, because with the schus imos,
I'll explain why in a moment. There is no condition of tzaddikim, mishoyim, boichim, b'maseim, oisim, b'dachayim, oisim, k'maseim. It doesn't seem to be a t'nai, a condition at all in the zchus imohos, in the merit of the mothers. It's only by the others. So this koach of kiyum, of survival, during difficulties, that is for every Jew. Where does this come from? Why is it? You know, Shmuel Hanavi was supposed to die for reasons that you might not agree with, but there was a psak din mavis, there was a gzar din, there was a psak, there was a ruling that he was supposed to die because this is Meir Halach Lashnei Rabbi. He paskened in the presence of his Rebbe, Eli. But to go into the reason of why he was supposed to die is not for now. Look in Sefer Shmuel with the Mefarshim. But Shmuel HaNovi was supposed to die. Now everybody here knows what Chana, the mother of Shmuel, what she went through until she had a Shmuel HaNovi. Everybody knows because she opened up all the koiches of Davin. And Sugya and Brachas, we learn out from that. We learn that from Chana, Kama Vakama Halachas. But more than the Halachas of Davening, of Tefillah, we learn out the whole posture of Tefillah, the fifth parak in Brachas. Chana, what she went through to have a child. And that's not a child, Shmuel HaNovi. Shmuel HaNovi is the root of Malchus, is the root of the koach of the Jewish people to have a king. He anointed Shaul, he anointed David. What was the one thing that Chana did to annul the decree of Shmuel Navi's death? He was supposed to die. What was the one thing? Four words. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalal. According to Chazal, that was the clincher. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalal. I daven for him. Oh, everybody davens for children. El hanar hazeh hispalalti. What does that mean? There's a rule in creation. Gemara says in Bava Metzia Lamed Ches, it's a rule in the world. Adam writes about kav shaloi, yoyse metisha kav mishal chaveroi, that a person would rather have his own, one of his own, but it's mine, more than nine that comes from somebody else. One, but it should be mine. Adam writes a bekav shaloi, a person would rather have his one, yoyse mitisha kabn shchaveroi, more than receiving from somebody else nine portions. Rashi says, so Bava Metzia Lamed Ches, Rashi says, Kav shaloi chaviv ala. That your portion, what you worked for, what you earned, what you struggled for is chaviv ala. It's precious to you. Vayidei sha'om al behen. And because you had to work for it, you had to struggle for it. The kav shi yisholim ehem hu roitzem yitest kavim shalacherim shi yikach v'dameyem. And with the one thing that person actually struggled for and worked for and it's his, he made it, it's worth more to him than the nine that he just bought someplace. When Chana said, El Hanar Hazeh Hispalal, for this child I died. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalal, the oimek, the depth of that outcry was something that no father could ever say. A father, unless Chalila doesn't, there's no mother, father. God forbid something has happened to the mother. But El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti, all the yigia from the time that the mother doesn't feel well, from the time that she doesn't feel well. All of the difficulties that the mother goes through, that it's her child. As much as, of course, the husband is a shutuf, is the partner in the being of that child. Afal pichein, I think it's safe to say that we understand that Alanar hazeh hispalalti has a unique ring when it comes to a mother. Alanar hazeh hispalalti. The mother goes through. What the mother goes through. How much crying and how much giving, schlepping and doing. That her whole life is mamash bottle, her whole life is completely nullified. Completely nullified for the sake of the children. It's a klal and halacha. We have something that's only used under certain circumstances, but if you learn Bava Metzia, there's a klal and halacha called Kol Da'alam Gvar. Kol Da'alam Gvar means what? There is such a thing where a decision in halacha is made by let the best man win. Let's see. You say that you own it, you say that you own it. Okay, let's see. Why don't you guys fight it out? Now, how that's used in halacha, it's very rare. And I'm not going to the sugi to be in Shnayim Achzim, but there is such a thing as Kol Da'alam Gvar. The stronger one gets it. Why is that? Why should the stronger one get it? So the Rosh writes at the beginning, the attack at the beginning above Metziah, the Rosh writes, Shemi Shahad Din Imai. Because if the din is with you, if you know that you're right, Moise Nav Shalaha Medesh Shalom Biyado, you will be Moise Nefesh, you will do anything in the world, kick and scream and bite and scratch, but you'll do whatever you have to. If it's yours, Lahamid Eshaloi Biyado, to get what belongs to you back. Then you should have it. More than the person has mysterious nefesh to be a thief. There is such a thing as mysterious nefesh to be a thief. The person is trying hard to steal something. But he can't compete with the person to whom it belongs. And so it is with any one of our enemies that tries to take Eretz Yisrael away from us. It's the same thing. Kol Da'alam Gvar. Moise Navshoi, that Misha had din imai. Misha had din imai. That if you're right, and it's yours, then you die for it. A million deaths, not once. So perhaps it means that our mothers, sorry, because Rachel, now you have a schus, have a koach, have a power, and Rachel, may not be at kofts or Rachel, if not going to borrow whom. I veil and I say, Hispalalti. It's one thing the father says, how can you do this to my children? How can you do this to my child? The father says it's like a powerful thing for a father to make, to say such a thing is powerful. How can you do this to my child? But it's still not the same. It's still not the same as a mother saying, Elanar, as a Hispalalti. Not the same. And the Nitzochen, the schus of the Imahos, the victory of the Imahos, is for any child. And how many times, and I'm speaking from experience, both in raising my own children and in my own house, how many times you'll have a situation where the father already paskins misa on the child, Khalil. I don't mean God forbid to hurt, but there's already a psak din. A judgment has been passed. And you know, in discussions that the father and the mother had beforehand about the punishment and about the decision that would be handed down, the father and mother agreed. And how many times has this happened? So my wife and I have a whole discussion that the kid did this thing, we have to do this, and so on, my wife 100%. And then it comes time for the psak din, and the child is brought in, and I make a big stink that this is the psak din, and I say, and mommy feels the same way, right? Right, mommy? And then my wife is, well, the truth is that it hasn't, this, he hasn't done this, or she hasn't done this in the last 6 months or a year, and
And it's, I can't believe it. And every time I just can't believe it. What about all our hachanis? I mean, we had so, we prepared so much that this should be, we should come as a coalition. And we should, you know, this is good chinuch and so on. And I already am standing there with a knife. And the schusi mahos, the bris of the mothers, comes and holds back the knife. But you say, but the child is nishkan sadik, the child is not worthy, the child did something, there's such unworthiness here. And the mother says, Elanara zehes palalti. Don't touch him. I don't mean with a touch. Talking about with words, whatever it is. Elanara zehes palalti. Kol dalam gvar. You want to fight it out? Kol dalam gvar. And let anyone dare stand in the way of one of the imahos when she's kofetzes l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that taina, as irrational as the taina might be. You can't stand in the way of one of the imahos. I feel me shen eroi, doesn't make a difference who the child is, what the child is. Sometimes it's not good. But the koyach of the imahos, the schus of the imahos, there's no chiluk by a mother. Fathers have these fine chilukim. This one learned 10 blot the last 2 weeks. The other one only learned 6. He gets a 5. My mother's an afkimidah. This one cleaned up. This one didn't clean up. This one has more derecheres. This one has less derecheres. Not by a mother. Because the mother is isekes b'shalah. It's from within her. We understand. I hope it's clear that the father, the union of the others is geula. There's no question about it. What a father will do to rescue a child is no shaila. And at a time when there's a danger, of course, the father will do whatever he can to rescue. There's no shaila. That's geula. That's redemption. But to be mekayim the child in galus. To take care of you when everything says you shouldn't, you don't deserve it. That's the imos of Galeni Oid V'Galusi. While I'm in Golus, to experience a little bit of a gula. While I'm in Golus, to be able to breathe, to be able to continue. Because the schus would only work, the merit of the fathers would only work for individuals. Tzaddik. It's very hard to be on that plant. But the schus of the imahos is for every Jew. A mother is not mechal, doesn't make any chilek. This Jew or that Jew. There's no chilek. No, memela now, you understand that there's our preparation for Hanukkah. You think of Hanukkah. Soon it's going to be Kislev. Yes, and we need to, during Cheshvan, we have to try to light some of the ayahs of Hanukkah. The Rishonim have told us in the Torah, even brings it in the Torah Shulchan Aruch, that the three yontivs of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot correspond to the three others. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Pesach is Avraham Avinu, Shavuos is Yitzchak Avinu, and Sukkot is Yaakov. That's preferish in the Rishonim, that the three yontivs correspond to the three others. We understand that each one of those yontivs brings a geula to the Jewish people. How that geula takes place, that's not for our talk right now, but everybody understands. Pesach is obvious, what that means. And the geula of Har Sinai, of Matan Torah, of the Jewish people being redeemed from hefkeris, from emptiness, being brought into the way of Torah. And the geulas, and the geula of Sukkot, which is the revelation of the Rebbeinu Shlom's unbelievable Ahava, and the union of Sukkot Dov, the Beis HaMikdash, and the union of Eretz Yisrael, which is all Yontif Torah. But that's the union of the Ovis. Avi, Mitzchak, and Yaakov are the Koach of a Mevi Goel of Nei, the name of Geul of Redemption. And redemption is connected, is revealed through the three Yom Tov. But I think that the union of Chanukah and Purim is the schus of the imahos. Chanukah and Purim, Yom Tovim, from the mothers. Yom Tovim that come from the Korach of the Imahos, of the mothers. What does that mean? The Nes of Chanukah did not bring a redemption. We weren't redeemed by the Nes of Chanukah. The Nes of Chanukah took... There was no Geula Lamais. What was the Nes of Chanukah? The Nes of Chanukah was, there was mamish dark, Choshech of Yavin, the darkness of Yavin of Greece, and there was no longer any prophecy. It was the second Beis Hamikdash, prophecy was taken, everything was dark, Hashem wasn't talking to us anymore. We were drifting further and further away. Hellenization had taken over a large part of the Jewish people, that we were already imitating the ways of the Greeks. We're going to ball games, wearing non-Jewish clothing, so on. We're falling into all those things. And what's the Inyan of Chanukah? In the darkness, in the gullus, in the destruction, in the tum, in the churban, in the ugliness, one pure jug of oil, pach shemen. In the bechina of ata amadata lahem be'es tzarosim. You stood up for them during their difficulties. Raftes rivam, like a mother, not like a father. Be'es tzarosim, in their difficulties, Raftes rivam dantes dina kantes nikmosam. In the difficulties, not a gula, not a redemption. Amad lahem ba'ez tsarosam. You stood with them in their tsaros. Like a mother that refuses to leave no matter what. Whether the child is yeah Hellenist, is not a Hellenist. Amad lahem ba'ez tsarosam. Raftes rivam dantes dina. The koach of survival, the revelation of love in the midst of ugliness in that time when they're not worthy of that love, that's the bechina of the imahos of the mother. And this pashat death of Purim is, of course, also the holiness of Purim. This is not necessary to go into right now, but everybody knows that Purim is all hidden miracles. We don't see any befeirish. There's no miracle of Purim. There's no clear miracle there. It's just, there's a lot of tsaros. There's a terrible decree. And somehow, in a very, very wonderful and mysterious way, in the Golus of Paras, because the Gemara tells the Beferish, we know from Chazal, that Akatya had the Achashverish, and we're still the servants of Achashverish. When the whole story of Purim ended, we still have to pay taxes to Achashverish. And the Megillah ends with the taxes. We were still servants, we were still humiliated in Golus and being in exile. So what's Purim? Purim is Amatalan Beis Tzaros. It's the hidden miracle. A mother is a hidden miracle. And I think that's why the whole inning of the schus of the Imos, the merit of the mothers, is not Beferish and Torah. It's Ve'es Brisi Avram, Ve'es Brisi Yitzchak, Ve'es Brisi Yaakov, Ve'es, and Chazal Darshan, always says Ve'es, and it means, Ve'es means the Imos. So you see the Ovis, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, top building shining all over, and the S is the Imos. That Indian of Al-Nisecha, Shebechol Yom Imanu. See, a father is a dramatic redemption. The Gula, the one who saves and redeems. The hero. But then there's another Bechina, another aspect of the mother. And the Koyach of the mother is Al-Nisecha, Shebechol Yom Imanu. Dressing and feeding and taking care of and sending off to school. That's on Nisecha. They're hidden miracles. They don't look like miracles. It's a miracle. She gets up in the middle of the night. So what's she supposed to do? Not get up. On Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. That's what a Jewish mother is. That's what a Jewish wife is. On Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. Therefore we find that there is such a thing in the Svarma Kedoshim, in the writings of the Holy Ari, there is such a thing as a Geula Misitra Denukva, as a redemption that comes from the feminine side. And therefore we see that Davka by Chanukah and Purim, the Inyan of Chanukah, that the Geula of Chanukah began with a woman, Yehudas. And the Geula of Purim, the redemption of Purim, began in the darkness with Esther Amalka. And maybe that's why the maftir on Shabbos Chanukah is Rani v'simchi bastzio. Rani v'simchi bastzio. That with a gula that comes from the side that is feminine, the Indian of bastzio, the daughter of tzio. If we find, it says in the Sfarim, that the word in Hebrew for a mother, aim, ima, aim, aleph mem. Aleph mem, aleph mem. Even the word aim, which means im, if only, that's the whole meaning of a mother. That's staying with the child. That's staying with him, if it will be. But aleph mem stands for Esther and Mordechai. Aleph Mem stands for Aaron and Moshe. Aleph Mem stands for Eliyahu Mashiach, says in this book. But a mother aim is the koach of Esther and Mordechai, of Aaron and Moshe and Eliyahu and Mashiach, of the koach of there being a besayrit toiv, of the good news of Geula, that there's going to be that reassurance in Golus. Eliyahu Mashiach, Esther Mordechai, Aaron Moshe. See, Aaron was the reassurance in Golus. When we were in the Golus, Aaron was the one that stayed with us. Like a mother, right? Aaron. It'll be okay, it'll be okay. Moshe was the hero, but Aaron was the mother. When Aaron died, the people were more broken than Chazal's. Esther and Mordechai. Mordechai was the hero. Mordechai, but Esther Malka. She was the one that was suffering in that disgusting place. Eliyahu Mashiach. Mashiach's the hero, Eliyahu Navi. In the darkness. That's the meaning of an aim, of an ima. There was a great Jew who was called Achosid Yaivitz. Not Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who was also called Yaivitz. Achosid Yaivitz, who survived the expulsion from Spain. He writes, after the destruction of that golden era, Aleichem Ishim Ekrai, call out to you, Migolus Sfarad Ani. I am one of the survivors of the exile of Spain. Migolus Sfarad Ani. Asher Gershunu B'Avanuseinu Harabim V'Atzumim, among those who have been cast aside, pushed away, exiled because of our many sins. And he writes, V'roiv ha-mesparim v'chochim ha-asim toivim kulam he-miru es kvodnim b'yoyim mar. Chosid Yaivitz writes, reflecting back on what was going on during those horrible times of the leading up to the expulsion from Spain, and Chosid Yaivitz says, I was there. And I'm telling you that those who were mesparim b'chochma u'b'ma'asim toivim, those Jews who were showing off, who considered themselves great with their wisdom, because there was a great emphasis on the study of philosophy and literature in the golden era of Spain. He says, mesparim b'chochma u'b'ma'asim toivim kulam he'miru as k'vaydim b'yoyim mar. They all converted on the bitter day when we were given the choice of leaving or getting killed or of conversion. They were the ones that converted. But the women and the simple Jews, gave up their lives, gave up their possessions for the wholeness of their Creator. Because that koyach is a koyach of emunah pshuta, of simple faith, of emunah pshuta. Aim is also the first letters of emunah. A mother, aim, aleph mem, is in from emunah. And that's the soid hakim of the Jewish people, is lahagid baboyke chazdecho ve'emunoscha balelos, to survive during the night. Ve'emunoscha balelos is the koyach of women, of the mothers. This is chusimos. Ve'emunos chabalelos. Alanara zehes belalti. That in the darkness, not to give up hope, that's the koch of the emos. Alanara zehes belalti. I struggled too much, I worked too hard, I davened, and I suffered too much. and this child is mine, and I'm not Michael. That's the koach of the mothers. So let's come back to the tent of Avram and Sarah. Let's come back. I told you the last few minutes. We'll return to that. And the sun had set and darkness had fallen upon Avram Avinu. We read that already. Darkness had fallen upon Avram. Everybody knows that Hashem revealed to him the horrors of the future four exiles, right? At that time. The four exiles were revealed to him. Everybody knows also, and I mentioned it before, the choshech, the darkness of chashecha. The darkness is Yavan, is Greece. Shechshichu einem shel Yisrael, that they darkened the eyes of the Jewish people. What does it mean that they darkened the eyes of the Jewish people? And they told us that they made a gzeirah, that we had to write on the Keren Hashur, on the horns of an ox, that we have no portion in the God of Israel. The chashichas hainayim, the sleepfulness of Avram Avinu, when he was asleep, when darkness had fallen upon him, it was revealed to him the darkness of the gullus of Yavan of Greece, that would cause the Jewish people to wonder whether or not there was any future, to wonder whether they would ever get out of that mess. Whether there could possibly be an end. And how do you survive during the difficult times of darkness? And Avram Avinu slept. In truth, there are different times in life where a person falls asleep. There are different times in life when a person falls asleep, and I don't mean just going to sleep, obviously. In the life of Avram Avinu, in his own life, the death of Sarah caused there to be a hefsek. Something stopped. Something ended. That's the medrash that we began with Rashi. Pasak, the cloud, the expansiveness of the tent, the candle that was lit, right? It all was pasak. It stopped. Of course, the Torah doesn't describe those, the feeling. The pasuk says about Avram and Sarah, ki echad kirasi, that Avram and Sarah are called one. They're called one. Amish. It wasn't that Avram Avinu was sad. He was ripped into two. He was torn apart. And everything in his life seemed to stop. He went on lighting a candle, of course. His tent was open. And I've seen people who the mother, the wife dies. I've seen people that continue to. They continue to light a candle. They continue to open the door. They continue. But there's a difference between a person who is in a state of tardema, who is in a state of being asleep. While you're awake, someone told me last week that he heard from the name of the Panavizhar Rav, Zechatzayfer Rav, that the Panavizhar Rav knows. Did amazing things with her. So Panavizhar Rav said to someone, I have a cholim, I have a dream. The dream was to build a beautiful yeshiva, a malchus of Torah. He says, but my dreams, I dream with my eyes open. Often that's how I dream life. My dreams are with eyes that are open. There is such a thing where a person is, the eyes are open, the person's awake, but the koiches are in a state of sleep. Ad shabbos rivka. Now all of that is being held. Koach, the chiyus, the life, the energy to continue during a time of tardema, of deep sleep. That koach returned to the tent of Avram Avinu when Yitzchak brought Rivka. And Rivka is that beautiful light that pierces the darkness. I mean, the name Rivka is the letters Haboika, the morning. But the pshat and Haboika, that it comes in the night, Haboika. In the night of when you have no hope. In the night when all that you lived for is gone. In the night when there's no reason for you to continue, then Rivka Habboiker appears. Amatulam Heis Tsarosam Raptis Rivam Dantes Dinam. The male, now we can understand why it's brought down the Svarim that Chanukah is a time that's Mesugal to have children. There is no time in the entire year where it's as Mesugal, where it's as good a time and as likely a time to have children. A person is ruggled in there, He's talking about Ner Shabbos. The Sfarim explain at length the connection between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Having the bottom Tamina Chachamim to bring children that are shining with the light of Torah into the world. Davka, the time of Chanukah, is the time to awaken such an union of children. As it did, Davka, you know, by Ner Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beisai. The Chanukah, the din of Chanukah candles is on, Etzim is on the house, that the house has to have a Chanukah candle. So Pnei Yeshu asks in Shabbos, the Pnei Yeshu asks, where do you see such a thing that it should be a chiv on the house? But by other mitzvahs, a mitzvah there klaus beguf. A mitzvah, you know, you're obligated, that each person is obligated to do the mitzvah. But by Chanukah, you have an inyan of Ner Ishu Beisai. So he explains, because here the whole inyan is a pisum inisa, to publicize the miracle and to bring it out to the Rishus HaRavim. I mean, the Pnei Yeshua is a beautiful Pnei Yeshua. According to what we're learning, that the inyan of Chanukah is that redemption in the darkness that comes mikoach ha'imahos, from the mothers, from the eim habonim semecha. So we understand the ishto zubesa. We understand that the house is the mother. And the Davkin inyan, Davkin inyan by Chanukah of Ner Ishu Beisa, the tent of Sari Main. All of the appearances of the Imahos in the Torah and Tanakh are so sneezdik, are so hidden, so concealed. Ves, ves, ves. That's all a mother is, ves, and, more, 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 ves, ves. She never gets the proper consideration. She never gets the proper recognition, the proper reward. Instead, the chokes and cracks and narishkeit. Of course, we're all just kidding. That's what everybody says. Of course. Of course, I love her. She's great. Isn't she great? The cracks. We're all guilty. Hashem manachnu. But the emes, in truth. I told you once a story, and I'll tell you now, because since most of you already know this story, I'm going to tell it very much to kids. I'll tell it to you very quickly. I told it around a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. The Rebbe Mendel Rimenover married a girl from a very wealthy home. The girl's father had expectations that Rebbe Mendel Rimenover would become the Gadol Hador. She did, but he meant a little bit different type of the Gadol Hador. You know, he meant with PhDs and master, you know, doctorates and stuff. He didn't mean the great miracle worker, the tzaddik of the time. So what happened was that eventually, they were kicked out. The fatherless house. They used to live in this beautiful mansion. They were kicked out. Because the father-in-law was very angry that he had gone to the way of the chassidim, and that he was no longer just sitting and learning Gemara, but he was Isaac and Kabbalah and different things or whatever. But very angry. So we're told that during the time that they were kicked out, they lived in a terrible little place. When father wasn't home, so the mother would call the daughter in, take some food. And the mother would also bring them food. This is also what we've been talking about, right? So mother brought them, took care of them. The father got wind of this, that his wife, the mother-in-law, was still taking care, so he decided that he's leaving town. So Imamish left. And Reb Mendel and his Rebbetzin were left starving to death. And it happened that Reb Mendel sat day and night in the Bismedrash. He was learning. He never knew where his food was coming from. And somehow, in all kinds of crazy, miraculous ways, his wife would somehow come each day, once or twice, and she would come outside the Bismedrash. And somebody would go in and tell Reb Mendel that his wife is here, and he would go outside, and she would give him a little bit of tea. You were given the food and she would leave and you would sit down at the table and eat. It happened one time that there was mamish no, she couldn't get any food because she didn't know what to do. And Mendel had already been in this medrash for 3 days. She was dying. She never said a word and she didn't know what to do. She went to different stores. Nobody would give her on credit anymore. And of course they were not known at that time. He wasn't known as being a sadhus. So it happened that she went to a certain bakery and she begged the man to please write down, to write it down, credit, and the baker said, I have to do this. And maybe you haven't paid in so many months, it's ridiculous. So she left there and she didn't know what to do. Her husband was a tzaddik of Mendel and she knew what a tzaddik he was. He was going to die. So it happened that the baker all of a sudden starts running after to stop. And she comes and he's carrying a basket of breads and things and rolls. And he comes over and he says, listen, I know who the two of you are. I see there's something special. And I thought about it, and I prepared to make a deal. The deal is that I'll give you this food on the condition that you give me your chelik in the world to come. You give me your portion in the world to come. And that's a real thing. That's the condition. And she agreed. So she came to the Beis Medrash, and the only one sitting there was Reb Mendel, who was kimad dead, who was lying over his Gemara. She came there, and this time he looked up and saw her. There was no one else there. And unlike any other time in the past where she just stood outside, this time she came into the Beis Medrash. She took out a cloth and she put it on the table. And she put down the food for him. And he washed his hands. He sat down. And at that moment, when he looked at her, he saw what it was that she had given up to him. And she said that she saw in his eyes that moment of reassurance that because of what she had given up, he had given her twice as much back. And I think that that's something that one has to see in the eyes of our mothers and our wives. Sometimes you forget. When you fall into smallness, you forget. But in the bigger picture, to look in the eyes and to understand what that person gives up to you. And we should give them back, not twice, a million times what they do. Hashem should help us to give back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us a geula and the schus of the others. It should help us manage through these last few days of geulas and the schus of the imams. It should be zayichim et Hashem to see Eim Habon and Sameicha and Bias Mashiach Sakeinu and Hem Yameinu Amein and Amein.